It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bock.
Hey folks, what's up? Dan Bock here on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. It's the one spot here on the web where you're going to find daily fantasy talk, discussion, picks, predictions, all that good stuff each and every day for you. So we thank you for checking us out. I'm Dan Bock, also go by DB730 in the world of daily fantasy, and should be a pretty busy podcast here on this Friday. I've been previewing something interesting coming today on the podcast, and it is finally here. Of course, if you haven't gotten the email or checked your email this morning, Daily Joust is set to launch a brand new tournament called an NBA Solo Survivor Tournament. So I'm going to go in and talk about the specifics of that and really how excited I am about it, because it's something new and innovative, and you know how I am with this industry. I think anytime somebody brings something new to the table, it's not always going to work, but I think this is one of those tournaments that's going to bring a lot of excitement to Daily Joust. So we'll talk about that and talk to the guys over there a little bit later in the podcast. Also, busy night in the NBA. 13 games. You got guaranteed prize pool tournaments all over the place. FanDuel, Draft Street, Daily Joust. So we will talk about some NBA action tonight, and we will talk a little bit. I'm going to start with it right now as a shout out to Fantasy Sports Live, who I don't know if they got it from the podcast or from the forum page, but you know, we said on Tuesday's podcast that somebody needed to do a Pro Bowl Super Bowl combo daily fantasy game, because you know everybody was kind of sad to say goodbye to the NFL, and the reason we had to say goodbye is because you need two contests to actually legally put together a daily fantasy game. And with the Super Bowl being the only one left, everybody figured, can't do anything for the Super Bowl. That kind of sucks. Well, over on the Daily Joust message board, somebody brought up the idea of, hey, what about the Pro Bowl? It's still a contest. There's no reason you can't include that. And I thought a little bit about it, and I said, you know what? That would actually make for a somewhat entertaining game. Now, I don't recommend anybody playing high stakes on the Pro Bowl. I mean, if you do that, you're kind of a loser and basically have a gambling problem. But if you wanted to put 5, 10, 20 bucks on a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl, daily fantasy game, just to kind of have some interest, have some sweat in the last 2 weeks of football season, I got nothing wrong with it. And I checked out their games. They're officially up over there on Fantasy Sports Live. And it's actually, they did a really good job doing the salaries. And it was not a very easy team to put together. And the one thing you always fear when you have leagues that only involve two games is tons of overlap. Because let's face it, it's not fun to put two rosters, or to put a roster together and your opponent basically have the same roster except for like one or two positions. And that happens quite a bit when you only have like two contests for a particular game. And I don't think that's going to be a problem. I really don't, because, of course, obviously in the Pro Bowl, you've got multiple options at the quarterback position. Normally in a game that only had two contests, there's only four quarterbacks. But obviously you got more than that to choose from with the Pro Bowl having the expanded rosters. And I really thought they did an excellent job putting the salaries together. So props to Blinders and the guys over there at Fantasy Sports Live. If you haven't gone over there, click on our links here. We'll give you a deposit bonus for doing that. And, of course, getting some of that action. I've already signed up for one game. I'll probably play one more just to give it a try. But I'm glad that somebody listened to us here on the podcast and followed through on something like this, because I didn't think it was a daunting task for somebody to do. And Fantasy Sports Live came through, so good job by them. So let's move on to some other news I'm really excited about, and it's over there at Daily Joust, as they have these brand new NBA Solo Survivor tournaments. And this is one of the more newer and innovative ideas that's come to Daily Fantasy in quite some time. And I congratulate the guys at Daily Joust for doing that, because as I always feel, it's important for these daily sites to think outside the box and do something new and not basically just be like everybody else. So I'm very excited that they came up with this concept. And basically what it is solo contests. They're the only site that really offers these in the industry. And you basically just got to hit a certain amount of points every night to win your Survivor tournament. So if you hit 225 in the NBA, you're a winner. You don't have to worry about playing sharks. You don't have to worry about somebody getting lucky. All you do is have to worry about your own score and reaching a certain plateau. And once you do, you win. And basically, these solos have been pretty popular. So this tournament, basically, there's a few stipulations. First thing you have to do is you got to qualify. So the first tournament starts on February 1st. So the 7 days prior to that, if you win any solo contest, doesn't matter if it's college basketball, NHL, NBA, whatever, then you're entered in the Solo Survivor Tournament. And that's going to apply for every Solo Survivor Tournament. So if you're in, you lose. Basically, if you win a solo the 7 days prior to the next one starting, which is usually a couple days after the current one ends, then you're automatically set to go into the Solo Survivor Tournament. Now, the key here is once you're in, you've got to win. Because you win, that means you move on to the next day. And whoever is left standing wins the $250 prize pool on top of all the money that they won up to this point. Because remember, you're playing cash games every single day. They're going to be offering three solo survivors each day, a $5, an $11, and a $20. So you basically have three shots a day to hit that mark. And it doesn't matter if, let's say you win your $20, but you lose the $11 and the $5. Well, the next day, you still get three. You don't just lose the entries into those two lower-level tournaments. You get three new ones every day. But as soon as you don't hit that mark, then you're eliminated from the tournament. And it will be interesting to see how long this goes. And, of course, the key is to get to 4 days, because once you get to that fourth day, then that means you're eligible for the prize. And the prize, of course, is $250 and an entry into the Super Joust contest, which is, from what I hear, not going to be quite the same field that we saw for football in terms of gross numbers. So a lot of value attached to that. But if it, let's say it doesn't get to 4 days, let's say it's a really low scoring day in the NBA and nobody gets to 225 for that day. Well, here's the cool thing. That $250 prize pool rolls in to the next tournament. So therefore, the next tournament would actually be $500. And then let's say somebody wouldn't be successful there. You'd roll that over. The next one would be $750. So it's pretty exciting to think, you know, the amount of money that could be in this if we have continual rollovers. And the guys at Daily Joust have done a good job of setting this tournament up. Everything is going to be visible on the site. There's going to be transparency, which is important when you talk about Daily Fantasy. Not only to know the lineup, obviously, you put together, but in this case, where you're not really playing an opponent per se, you want to see who everybody else has. You want to see the lineups that they put together to see whether or not they're going to reach the solo mark and move on to the next day. So it's a very new and innovative tournament, and you can find it only over there on Daily Joust. I'm really pumped about this, and we talked to the guys here at Daily Joust about it. Let's hear from them. Joining us now in the podcast, we're speaking with two of the gentlemen who came up with the idea I just described. Of course, it's the NBA Solo Survivor Tournament. It's only over there on Daily Joust, and twice in 1 week, they're coming on the podcast. You can't beat that. That means they've got great innovative things. First, it was the Super Joust. Now it's the Solo Survivor Tournaments with the NBA. It's Mike Mathis, Michael Brook. Thanks again, guys, for coming on. And Michael, tell me a little bit why you decided to focus on the solo tournaments or the solo contests and build this tournament format around that.
Well, solos have been very popular on Daily Joust. Some of the advantages of playing solos on our site, you don't have to worry about competing against the top-rated jousters to win prize money. You simply make a lineup, pick your entry fee level, and if you hit a predetermined target, you win. You don't have to worry about having similar lineups or duplicate players as your opponents. You don't have to worry about whether your contest is going to fill. I think that that's one of the reasons it's proved pretty popular on our site. We decided it'd be kind of interesting to combine that with a Survivor-style tournament, something we wanted to do for a long time. Now that we've got six sports going on our site, we're able to spend a little more time on contest innovation.
And the first solo Survivor NBA tournament starts January 31st. And the one prerequisite is that you have to win a solo contest of any type for basically within the 7 days leading up to that tournament. Now, Mike, tell me your thoughts on the solo contest. And, I mean, how has it really worked out? I mean, has it worked out as well as you figured it would on Daily Joust when you guys kind of came up with the concept of it? And it's been one of the things that's really set you guys apart from your competition because nobody else offers them in the industry.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the very beginning, I think we viewed solos as a trial contest for newbies. But as it has evolved and as we've learned, it's as Michael just mentioned, it's proved to be a really popular contest format for the reasons that he just mentioned. And it also lends itself really well to being part of a multi-day tournament, like a Survivor format tournament. And there's a number of really cool aspects of that. One is that, it turns out to be a fairly low entry fee in order to have a shot at winning a really big prize. And because of the nature of solo Survivor, as you enter solo contests and as you win and survive into the following consecutive days of the tournament, you ultimately have a chance to win the entire prize yourself, as opposed to just sharing a prize pool with potentially a large number of other high place finishers. The other thing is that as you play this tournament, you win money along the way. Each solo contest that you play as part of the tournament is also, a prize pool a contest. So if you enter a $5 solo as part of the tournament, you would also win, the $9 prize for that solo on that day. It also turns out that you don't have to worry about an opponent getting super lucky on the particular day of the tournament, because the nature of solo is as long as you reach that target, you win and you survive to the next day. So this way, all users have a really fair shot, a really decent shot at the prize, because you just have to consistently beat that target and you don't have to worry about some DB730 having an unbelievably lucky day that happens to be the day of the tournament, as we've had happen once before.
I like that. That was a good little jab right towards me. Very well done. Now, Michael, tell me about how it's going to look on the site, because I think is there going to be special designations for solo survivor, the solos, I should say, for people to enter? And is there also going to be a specific place for people to actually view other people's solo lineups and see how they are progressing, not just their own teams? Because obviously when you get to day three and day four, where you're getting to the point where okay, we're going to have a winner of this thing, you knowing what your opponent has is almost just as important as knowing what you have, even though you're not playing against them.
Right. Well, there's two aspects of this. There's the qualifying part to get to play in the tournament. You need to have won at least one solo the week before. And, we have solos with different entry fee amounts in different sports. You don't have to have won it in NBA. When we start an actual SST contest, there will be solos that are specially designated as SST solos, and they will show up on the open contest pages for the people who are eligible to enter those contests. And there'll be at three different levels, with a $5 entry fee, an $11 entry fee, and a $22 entry fee, and each will pay out its own corresponding prize for winning that individual SST solo contest. You will be able to follow all the contestants in the SST contest. We have a live look-in, so you don't even need to be, currently entered into the SST to follow the action. There'll actually be three different contests that look like they're tournament style, where you can actually view any of the lineups and you can see how many contestants there are, and that'll be available for each of the three different entry fee levels. So users can follow the action.
Now, the coolest thing I think about this tournament is the fact that there's this term rollover, which I love, because basically if people don't hit the solos 4 days in a row, if we don't have one person who does it, that means the whole contest, the $250 total prize rolls over to the next one and combines with the upcoming $250 prize. So we're talking, if it doesn't happen, $500. If it doesn't happen after two in a row, you could go all the way up to $750 just within a couple of these tournaments. And that's some big money that I know a lot of people will be interested in getting involved in. I think it would be cool without the rollover. Why did you guys decide to, have this type of rollover thing? Because I think it's really going to add a lot of interest to it.
I can answer
that. We thought it would be pretty exciting to keep raising the prize pool if nobody won. We don't know exactly what to expect. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Well, that was my question, Mike. This has never been done before. Is getting four in a row, is that difficult to do in the NBA? I mean, from my experience playing on there, I think it's going to be pretty tough to necessarily get that number four nights in a row, because you need a little bit of luck on your hand, on hand to kind of pull something out like that for four nights in a row, especially in the NBA, because you've got injuries and other things that crop up at the last second. You guys have to be as interested as how this is going to shape out as the players are.
Well, one thing there, Dan, is that there are three different entry levels. So this is another little nuance to it, that on any given day you can enter in up to three teams, and they can be very different lineups. And any one of those, if any one of those wins, you move on to the next day. So I think most jousters would take advantage of that and actually play multiple lineups. And, we'll have to see how it plays out. We're trying something innovative.
And that's what I want to give you guys a lot of credit for, is I think that's very important in the industry for sites like yours to think outside of the box and run different things like the Super Joust and like a solo survivor tournament here. And I know the NBA fans are excited. Now, Mike, tell me, is this something that, down the road we might see with other sports as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as Michael mentioned, this is something we've been thinking about even back when we launched with baseball last year. So, definitely we'll see how this goes, and we expect it to go well. We think users are going to be super excited about it, and, the prizes will be won. And if there are some prize rollovers, I think people will get into that, and that'll be exciting. And we've designed this contest to be agnostic to the sport, so it'll be very easy for us to do it with hockey or college basketball, or any of the other six sports that we're doing.
Well, it's definitely an exciting tournament, and I think it's a great concept that you guys decided to come up with. And I know I'm going to give it a try, and I can guarantee you that a lot of people who haven't tried the solo contest, you really got nothing to lose here, because let's face it, if you win your contest, you're almost winning twice here, because you win the money in it, and then you have a chance at the grand prize. So just want to thank you guys for thinking outside of the box here and doing something a little bit different in the industry. And I'm very much looking forward to the success that I'm sure it will bring you guys. So congratulations on coming up with this idea.
cool. And I think the first one is coming up January 31st.
Yes, January 31st. So therefore, anybody who is, what is it, a 7-day? Is it a full 7-day period before? All you do is have to win a solo. So there's probably people listening who are already qualified for the solo survivor. That would make sense, right?
That's right. The 24th through the 30th, anybody who's won a solo contest in any sport will qualify for entry on the January 31st SST1.
Awesome, and we'll all be taking a look at it. Hey guys, I always appreciate you taking the time with us, and we'll talk to you as always anytime you get something new and innovative like this. Thanks again, guys. So if you're looking for more information on the Solo Survivor tournaments, you can head on over to their site to go under their blog posts, and you can find information there. They also have something on their Facebook page. But again, good job by them to think outside the box, do something different, great for the industry, and basically a chance to win some free money. I mean, not only are you winning on the solos themselves, you can win the extra prize pool that they throw in there, and the Super Joust entry as well. So I'm definitely excited about this. But let's move on now, talk some NBA. Got 13 games to talk about tonight, so let's get to it. Okay, busy night, like I just mentioned, here in the NBA. 13 games to talk about. I'm going to jump right into it. The Bobcats head to the 76ers. The Bobcats stink, and they particularly stink without their top two scorers, DJ Augustine and Gerald Henderson. When you get blown out by the Wizards, that's usually not a good sign. And when Matt Carroll and Corey Higgins, who are these guys? These are the guys who were like putting up good statistical numbers for Charlotte the last game. So I could see a blowout here. Probably good news for guys like Evan Turner, Thaddeus Young, guys on the second team who might get a few more extra minutes. But regardless, this game is pretty awful all around. I know Kemba Walker, I've been playing him. Maybe not the smartest of plays over there on sites like Draft Day and Draft Street, where they penalize you for missed shots, but it probably won't hurt you on a Daily Joust or a FanDuel. Moving on, Pacers and Celtics tonight. Danny Granger has been playing better as of late, got off to a slow start, but only averaging 12 points per game in contests out there in Boston, so you might want to avoid him tonight. As for the Celtics, Rajon Rondo appears to be out. Ray Allen appears to be out. Paul Pierce, 25 points, 9 assists over his last 3 games, so obviously probably a smart play coming off this back end of a back-to-back. Avery Bradley will likely get the start. Well, Etuan Moore actually had a pretty nice game for the Celtics yesterday, but I doubt we're going to see that back-to-back games. So that's the quick rundown on Celtics and Pacers. Nets visit the Cavs. New Jersey, love this stat, 4-0 when Deron Williams scores 24 points or more, 2-12 when he doesn't. So here's an idea. Give the ball to Deron Williams, and I think they will. He's definitely the best player they have on that team. Cavs, on the other hand, Antoine Jameson, 24-point average in the last two against New Jersey. Cleveland, though, has been playing some solid D lately, but not really against big men, so maybe Chris Humphreys has a nice game. He's actually picked up the scoring to go along with pretty consistent rebounding numbers. I swear, it seems like he's anywhere from like 13 to 19 rebounds a game, so could be an option against Cleveland tonight. Pistons, they host the Hawks. Josh Smith, 23-9 last year in his games against Detroit. And Kirk Heinrich has been cleared and back playing for the Hawks, so that might hurt Jeff Teague's value just a little bit. I know a lot of people have been using him over there on FanDuel, so you might want to shy away with Heinrich taking some minutes away from him. As for the Pistons, they're pretty pathetic, one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. Austin Day went crazy against the Miami Heat for like 30-some-odd points. I don't believe the hype after one game. I guess it was 28 points against Miami. I don't see that happening again. I think he just got hot shooting. I would not expect it to happen against the Hawks. Magic are in a little bit of a rut. They visit the Hornets. That's the kind of team you want to play when you're not playing well, because the Hornets are awful. 3-15, 1-9 at home. I think the Magic will win this game going away. Jarrett Jack, the only guy I consider right there on the Hornets, 20 points over the last 7 games on average. Orlando could blow them out. Obviously, beware of that if you decide to go with Dwight Howard, who likely would have a pretty big game in that matchup. Bulls and Bucks tonight.
Andrew Bogut is out. Looks like he might be out for the year. So Drew Gooden has actually been a very solid play in his absence. If you look at his stats when Bogut was out, he was putting up some good numbers. Chicago pretty tough on the defensive side, but for the value you're going to get on Drew Gooden, not a bad play tonight. Brandon Jennings, 26.7 assists over the last five games, but he only averages 11 points against Chicago. So for that reason, I'm not going to play Brandon Jennings tonight. Ronnie Brewer stepped in very well for Luol Deng. The first game, 20 points, 10 rebounds. I don't know if he'll repeat that performance again, but he's going to be getting minutes out there with Deng not playing. Well, this could be a good game for Derrick Rose. 21 points and 10 assists last year in the four games against the Bucks. Moving on to the Wizards and the Rockets. Of course, these two teams played really not that long ago, and it was John Wall had a career-high 38 points in that game. So it'll be interesting to see if he can put up a similar performance against Houston, who's not a great defensive team. But Andre Blotch, he's had a pretty awful year, but came through with a nice game. A lot of people think he had a bit of an issue with Flip Saunders, so maybe that'll change his fortunes around. As for the Rockets, Kevin Martin, 24 points versus the Wizards on average over the 11 games in his career. And there's lots of options, it seems like, on that Rockets team. Kyle Lowry had a rough outing the last go of it. Probably will rebound nicely tonight. Interesting game here. Heat and Knicks. Carmelo's just shooting awful, but he does have a 26-point-per-game average against the Heat. I think he's injured. He's never really shot for a great percentage, but he has just been horrible lately. And I think I heard some crazy statistic, like since Denver traded Carmelo, they're like 31-14. Well, the Knicks are like 21-25 since they had Carmelo. He is just a terrible I don't say he's a terrible teammate. I just think he's a terrible for the type of offense that they run. He just does not fit what Mike D'Antoni wants to do. So we'll see how this matchup goes. Amari, though, has been pretty solid lately. I think he's gotten double-doubles in three out of the last four games. As for the Heat, obviously LeBron James, always a no-brainer if you can fit him in your cap. But Chris Bosh, 28 points per game over his last four and averaged 21-10 last year against the Knicks. Spurs and Timberwolves, big Al Jefferson screwed me and a lot of other people just a couple of days ago with that late scratch. So keep your eye on him. Personally, anybody who's remotely hurt this year, I'm learning in the NBA, don't play him, because I think teams are siding on the air of caution here and not playing guys if there's any chance that they're a little bit banged up. So I'd stay away from him, and if it is confirmed he's not playing, you definitely have to look towards, excuse me, this is the Jazz and the Mavericks I'm yapping about. You definitely have to be looking towards Derek Favors. He's solid in his start, 16-12 just the last game. But besides him, not really excited by much on the Mavericks side. Now we'll go Spurs and Timberwolves. Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love, always solid. But Wayne Ellington, been much more aggressive offensively, been very impressed with him. I loved him at North Carolina, has one of the silkiest smooth shots you'll ever see. And he's been playing a lot better, so you might want to consider him, especially against the Spurs, who I've mentioned many times on the podcast, don't seem to play defense with the same intensity on the road as they do at home, and this game is in Minnesota. Raptors and Nuggets, pretty good game here from the perspective of there could be some nice value. First off, Danilo Gallinari has been shooting the ball incredibly well, 27-point average over the last three games. Ty Lawson, he's going to be out. That means Andre Miller is going to get the start and get lots of minutes and run the show for this Nuggets team that, you know, they average like 100, and I don't know the exact number, maybe like 106 points a game or so. So they like to run it up and down the court and score. The Raptors, on the other hand, they don't play very good defense because they're not a very good team. And when Andrea Bargnani's out, that means things could get really ugly in this one. Linus Klaza had 25 points for him just the last game, probably will get the start. And I might go and eat a Big Mac tonight, meaning I might start DeMar DeRozan, because somebody has to score. This should be a somewhat high-scoring game, so maybe I'll roll the dice with him, as his price has definitely come down quite a bit. Suns and Trailblazers, this game in Portland where they play much better than they do on the road. They average 103 points per game at home. So look for a couple of guys in this game to really light it up. Marcus Camby, 38 rebounds over the last two games. Now, he doesn't score worth a lick, but if you're going to grab that many rebounds, that means you're going to put up some nice fantasy stats. LaMarcus Aldridge, I like him. I like Gerald Wallace as well, because Phoenix just doesn't guard the big men all that well. Now, they play a little bit better defense than they used to, but with that said, they're not scoring like they used to. Outside of Gortat, who's really a fantasy stud, double-double every single night, there's not much else to really like on this Phoenix Suns team. You know, even Steve Nash just not playing as many minutes as he used to. And if I'm Phoenix, I look to trade Steve Nash at some point in time, because they're not going anywhere, that's for sure. Last game, Thunder and Warriors tonight. Steph Curry loves the Thunder, and so does Kevin Durant. Not does he love the Thunder, he loves Golden State. Steph Curry, 25-point average, also a 30-point average over the last four against the Thunder. And Kevin Durant, he's averaging 34 points over his last four against Golden State. Expect this game to be pretty high scoring. I definitely like Russell Westbrook in this one as well. Monte Ellis, again, he's such a hit or miss from a shooting perspective. If he is on, the guy can go for 35, 40 points. But even if he's off, he'll go for 25 points, but shoot two for 12 or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see how this game goes, but I like a lot of the main guys in this one, because I think we're going to see this game go way over the total. So that's the rundown of the NBA, and that's going to wrap up the podcast for this Friday. We thank you, as always, for checking us out. Been the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. You can follow us on Twitter, get all your injury updates for the NBA at Roto Grinders, and giving you some daily fantasy advice there as well. And we've got a Facebook page. Please subscribe to us on iTunes. And email me if you've got any comments or questions about the podcast. Dan@rotogrinders.com. Till Monday, everybody, have yourself a great winning weekend. And we will return with the podcast then. And have a great weekend.